All right. We are, of course, studying the book of Hebrews. And, of course, none of us were out last weekend, so let's go back just a little bit in our study. Afraid to move this thing. We got to near the very end of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We had talked about in verses 5 through 11 about prayer and about things that we need to think about when we pray. Things to be concerned about when we pray. He used Jesus as an example of how he prayed in Gethsemane, like in verse 7, when he talked about Jesus offering up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. And we talked about how he showed obedience by the things that he suffered. Because he came to earth and he went through all the trials and the criticisms and the contempt and the revilings and the pain. None of which he had to do, but he showed obedience to the Father by doing those. And of course, by doing that, giving us, as he says in the very next verse, the opportunity to have eternal salvation. But that eternal salvation is conditional, he says, and it only comes to those, verse 9, to those who obey him. So he showed us about obedience. He set the example for obedience because obedience is essential to our salvation. All right. Now, verses 12 through 14 we're going to focus on now, and they have some tremendous, tremendous lessons in there. For us. And there's some things in the book we're going to look at after we look at the text. So verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Well, you can tell that there's a little scolding, a little rebuke starting here. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. In these verses, he's going to give some contrast here. He's going to give some contrast between those who need to be taught and those who can't teach. And that's what he's contrasting right here. There's a difference between spiritual milk and spiritual solid food. And both of them are essential, but both of them are very much needed. He's rebuking them because enough time has passed since they became Christians that they should have moved beyond milk and have gotten to solid food. He says enough time has passed and because of that, you are in need. He says you need to go back. You need to be able to teach others. And there is a natural progression, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. There's a natural progression where we should be progressing. So see it in children. I think I use them as an example. If children aren't progressing at a certain rate, you know, within a certain range, then we see what's wrong. We take them to have them tested, or we observe and try to figure out why aren't they progressing? There's got to be a reason. Well, that's what the Hebrew writer here is telling these Jewish Christians, these Christians who had a Jewish background. By this time, in other words, you've been in Christ, you've been in the church, you've been in the body long enough to where you should be here. You should have the knowledge and the wisdom and the experience to be able to teach others. And he said, for some reason, you're still down here. You've not progressed like you should. So the writer is saying something is wrong. Something is wrong. And so that's what he's contrasting here. He does it again later on in the letter as well. But this is like the first time he starts talking about how needed this is for them. There are, and he's going to mention these in the next chapter, but there are principles, there are fundamentals that every Christian should know. Not everything, but there are basic fundamentals, basic principles that every Christian should know. After they've been in the body of Christ long enough, they should know these things. He calls them in the next chapter, he calls them elementary principles or rudimentary principles or foundation principles. He uses those terms. So there are things, there are basics that every Christian is expected to know. And some, by not studying, forget them, or some of them may not have learned them as well as they should have originally. So the writer is saying, you need to be retaught. And that's something teachers just love to do. Isn't that right, Diana? Oh, teach something four or five times that they should have learned the first time. But that's what the writer is saying here. You should have learned this the first time. I shouldn't have to go back over these things again. I shouldn't have to. But the Holy Spirit, through the writer, is saying, I need to, at least for several of you. Of course, I'm sure that didn't apply to every single one, but there were enough of them to whom he's writing to constitute him saying that you've not grown. You've not grown, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason that you've not grown like you should have. There is this idea that every saint, in some way or other, when they have progressed, needs to teach others. It might be their kids, it might be their grandkids, it might be their neighbor, it might be people they work with, you know, whatever. That's what the early church did. Remember Acts chapter 8, after the persecutions that went on in Jerusalem and all that went on there, it says the saints were scattered everywhere. And what'd they do? All of them went preaching the word. Everywhere they went, they were teaching God's word to people. Why? Because they had the basics. Did they know everything? Oh, of course not. That's not what he's saying. He said there's the basics. There's these fundamental principles that every Christian needs to know and then teach others. And then teach others. So he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. You should be. There is absolutely no good reason that you're not here. There's no good reason at all. So he's saying, now I have to go back and reteach and kind of reformulate all of these basic principles that you should already know. And he says, these are the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, these are the first principles of God's Word, God's Scripture. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, all Scripture is inspired of God, meaning it came from the mind of God. So that was the source. So because they hadn't learned it and absorbed it and understood it to the point where they could teach others, then he was going to have to redo all of this teaching. He says, you should need solid food. You should need solid food. But instead, you're needing milk. Now, milk is what young Christians are supposed to partake of. Would someone read 1 Peter 2, the first three verses? 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3 for us. First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by if you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord.
Okay. As newborn babes. So as spiritual babes, new Christians are not to be fed the solid food. Why? Well, they're not ready for it. Just like babies aren't ready for solid food, then new Christians aren't ready for, you know, the more difficult, the more complex, whatever parts of Scripture. They start with the fundamentals. Someone asked me what's a fundamental that Christians should know? Okay, you have to hear to believe. In other words, the source of faith and belief, where does it come from? That's certainly something that new Christians need to be taught and need to know. What's another fundamental? Okay, need to know about repentance, right? That's a basic idea. And really, that's one of the best ways to determine if someone is ready to be baptized. Ask them what it means to repent. And if they understand what it means to repent, they're probably ready to be baptized. But if they can't really tell you what it means to repent, what the Bible says about repentance, they're maybe not quite ready. Repentance is certainly, he's going to talk about that in the next chapter, by the way, but repentance is certainly one of those fundamentals that are really necessary. Just very important to understand. What else might be a fundamental?
Well, in conjunction with what's been said, you need to know the path to salvation.
Yeah, right. You certainly need the idea of how one's sins are forgiven. What sin is, of course, that's obviously a fundamental. We need to know what sin is, and that's why Jesus had to come and suffer and die on the cross. One reason. Sin. If there wasn't sin, there wasn't any need for him to die. So the whole idea of what sin is and how God plans on forgiving it. Okay? So there's a number of these fundamentals that Christians need. They need to know the idea that how one is to worship God. In other words, there are ways that God wanted to be worshipped in the past, and some of those have changed. That idea that there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that we don't worship God the same way that Abraham did, or Moses or Noah did, or David did. In other words, there are differences, there's changes. So, there are things that we need to know. Now, would someone read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3? 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the first three verses.
I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?
Okay. Says, I can't speak to you, you might say, as adults, as spiritual adults, but I'm having to speak to you as spiritual babes. Sounds like they had some of the same issues that these in Hebrews had. So, certainly time is an important element in this growth process, but time alone won't do it. Time alone won't do it. Just because someone has been in Christ for decades doesn't mean that they have grown God wants them to. It does take time to mature, but time alone isn't all that's necessary. There has to be a great deal of effort put in studying and in learning and in becoming wiser. We talked a couple weeks ago about being able to discern, you know, good and evil, right and wrong. So time is necessary, but so are other things. We need to study regularly, pray regularly, worship regularly. All of these things are necessary. So he said, you need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, or those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Again, there is a natural growth, a natural progression that is necessary. And it needs to be seen. If we have in class that still has trouble adding, something was wrong. Okay? Something didn't happen in the natural way that it should have. And you could kinds of different conditions there, but there is an expectation. You need to know this by the time you're out of third grade. You need to know this, and this. And that's important, but when it comes to one's spiritual life, it's way more important. There's that still, you know, there is a natural progression. It's going to be somewhat different for people, of course, depending on natural abilities, natural talents, and so forth, but there's still the growth. You want to see the growth. You want to see the aging process, the maturing process. And that's what he's talking about in these verses, because it's so critical. It's critical to the individual. It's critical to the church, the local congregation, that people progress. But ultimately, it's always back to free will. You know, it's up to me whether I progress and learn and mature. You know, I can't blame it on anyone else. I have to take responsibility for it. So we want to see this. We want to see that process. We want to see people getting to the point where they understand that there is right and wrong, there's good and evil. And we want to be able to discern when we see things out in the world, or when we see things in our family, when we see things with our friends. We want to get to the point where we know, well, what does God think about this? You know, what does God think about it? Some things are very obvious, of course, but some things it takes more discernment to know whether, yeah, this is something God wants me to do, or no, this is something God does not want me to do. See, that's maturing, that's being an adult, that's growing, that's what He wants us to get to that point. He wants us to, by reason of use, have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. And there's so many things that we need to think about when we look at things. Of course, is it legal? Obviously, that would be one thing. But what about its consequences? You know, what about consequences? If I do X, then what's the consequences of X? What might be the results of X? It may appear to be just fine, but are there consequences that could come out from participating or practicing? You know, we all have very limited amounts of time. Whether it's, we have to spend so many hours a day at work or so many hours a day sleeping, and so the remaining time is where we have to use our senses to discern. This is what I need to be doing, or this is what I don't need to do. That's where God wants us to get to. And it is a process. It's a growth process. But that's the goal. All of those things are. Do these things appear to be evil? Do they appear to be wrong? What kind of choices are there out there? And some things, again, are very obvious, but some things we really have to think hard about. And so that's our goal. We want to be able to teach others. We want to grow ourselves. We want to be able to teach others. We want to be able to get to the point where we can make these decisions about good and evil, right and wrong. Or even more so, what's better and what's best. Sometimes that's the choice. You have two things and they're both good, but which one's the best of the two? Well, that's still using our senses to exercise to discern good and evil. So that's where he wants us to get to. He begins in the next chapter, and I won't start the next chapter yet, but he talks about some of these fundamental things and the result of not understanding them, not grasping them, not bringing them inside, and possible consequences of those. And he talks about those in the first 8 verses of the next chapter, and I would certainly encourage you, if you can, to read those before next Sunday morning. Does anybody have a comment? I know that's a lot about 3 verses, but those 3 verses are important verses. Very important.